From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Mary Engish, filling in for Mitch Wortlieb. It's Monday, April 1st, and here are today's headlines. House lawmakers on Friday approved a state budget proposal that makes significant changes to the spending plan Governor Phil Scott presented in January. Virgin's Representative Diane Lamfer, a Democrat, says Scott's budget plan didn't provide enough support for some key organizations, such as the Vermont State Colleges system.
The governor had put $5 million towards that, but our previous commitment was $10 million. So we were able to do that in this budget.
House lawmakers dialed back on some of Scott's funding priorities, including a rental unit rehabilitation program, to make room for their own initiatives. Those included restoring funding for the Salisbury Fish Hatchery, which was slated to close under Scott's budget. The House budget also increases funding for adult education, mental health urgent care centers, and the Vermont Arts Council. In the other chamber of the State House, the Vermont Senate voted 21-5 to give preliminary approval to a bill that would require big oil companies pay a share of what climate change has cost Vermont. That share would be based on how much their products contributed to the problem in recent decades. The Climate Superfund Act is based on the federal Superfund program, which goes after big polluters to pay for cleanups of toxic waste. Senate Minority Leader Randy Brock voted against the bill.
I'd much prefer to see New York or California or someone else first. Not that this is not a good thing to do, but it could be an exceptionally costly thing to do for us.
Republicans have largely voted against advancing climate bills this session over fears around costs. Vermont's treasurer and attorney general support the policy, and environmental groups say it will be key to make sure Vermont taxpayers don't shoulder this massive cost alone. Last summer's historic floods cost the state more than $1 billion, and the price tag from flood-related disasters is only expected to grow. Copley Hospital in Lamoille County is asking state regulators to approve a mid-year price increase on its services. CEO Joseph Wooden says the hospital's been losing money for years and is running low on cash.
It's not working. We're running out of fuel. And the closer we get to that, I just want to be more clear to people that it's not working. I don't want somebody to be surprised. We were all surprised when Springfield declared bankruptcy.
Blue Cross Blue Shield of Vermont says Vermonters can't afford to bail out failing hospitals, and they oppose the price increase. The Green Mountain Care Board, which needs to approve mid-year pricing adjustments, will consider the request at its next meeting. And Burlington Mayor-elect Emma Mulvaney-Stanek will step down from her seat in the Vermont House today. In a letter read on her behalf in the State House Friday morning, she said she's stepping down so she can, quote, effectively serve the city. That's according to VT Digger. Governor Phil Scott can now appoint a replacement for the remainder of her term and will likely choose from a list of names sent to him by progressive and Democratic Party leaders. Mulvaney-Stanek has been representing the Chittenden 17 district for two terms. She chairs the House Progressive Caucus and sits on the Commerce and Economic Development Committee. Coming up, two young Vermonters reflect on International Transgender Day of Visibility. That's after this.
Thanks for tuning in to The Frequency, and thanks to VITA for their support. VITA, celebrating 50 years of helping Vermont businesses grow and thrive. From agriculture to energy, startups to established companies, find solutions that fit your business. Visit VEDA.org to start your next chapter.
Yesterday was International Transgender Day of Visibility, which was created to celebrate the achievements and perseverance of transgender people across the globe. It's also an opportunity to raise awareness and visibility about the discrimination and violence that trans people routinely face, including transgender youth. LGBTQ+ students in Vermont are twice as likely as their heterosexual cisgender classmates to be bullied, and they're more likely to experience mental health issues. Following this International Transgender Day of Visibility, we wanted to hear how Vermont's transgender youth are feeling and what visibility means to them. This is Alex Sage Yam Hallberg, who lives in Washington County.
I think that what transgender visibility means to me is an opportunity for every person, no matter their identity, to express who they are, and an opportunity for specifically trans people to share their experiences and to be listened to. I think that transgender visibility is not just about seeing us and listening to us, but it's also about taking the things that we say and implementing them into the world. something Vermonters don't understand about being young and transgender is I think that it's really hard. It's really difficult. I think a lot of people sort of dismiss the issues of transgender people in Vermont and other safer states because they like to say that it's safer here, and it is. That doesn't mean that it's completely safe, and that doesn't mean that it isn't absolutely horrible and that it doesn't cause distress. I know that I don't feel safe. I don't feel fully safe here. And I think that people don't really realize that because we are a very left-leaning state, but that doesn't mean that there aren't people here who would prefer if I didn't exist. Everyone needs to realize that people have their identities and people have their feelings, and that it's just who they are. It's not the end of the world that someone is themselves, and it doesn't really affect you very much. I think what is really beautiful for me about being part of Vermont's transgender community is just how much we all want to help each other. When you find yourself in a space full of young queer people and young trans people, there are almost always people who are going to make sure that you're doing okay, who are going to make sure that all of your needs, everything is taken care of. And it's such a breath of fresh air to just be in a community where you don't need to hide who you are. You don't need to sort of take a step back and hide your identity.
And now we'll hear from Perrin Dulmer, who lives in Milton.
Transgender visibility to me means just being seen in all facets of life. Like we are people, we exist everywhere. And it's not something that should be weird or discriminated against. We are just doing self-expression in the same way that you pick to style your hair in blonde curls. I pick to present myself as a female because that's what makes me feel the most confident and comfortable within myself. There's no parent intervention. We're not being indoctrinated by our schools, like people love to say. This was our choice to do this, and that's why we do it. I do feel very safe in Vermont. I think definitely in comparison to like what other people experience and what I see on the news, Vermont is very safe and has done a very good job of ensuring that all LGBTQ people are protected, especially trans people. The like sense of connection is something that I'd really want to share. Like me and all of the other LGBTQ people, I feel like a sense of closeness, even if I've not necessarily interacted, because I have aspects of them and they have aspects of me. There's no one brand of expression in both ways relative to like the gender expression of a minor. You can be just like accepting subtly that you can just use the pronouns they want. You can not be mean to them for this simple act of self-expression.
That was Alex Sage, Yam Hallberg, and Perrin Dulmer talking about what visibility means to them following yesterday's International Transgender Day of Visibility. And that piece was produced by Vermont Public's Jen Jarecki and Nathaniel Wilson. Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Pete Hirschfeld, Abigail Giles, Howard Weiss-Tisman, and Adia Goldston. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Mary Angish. Thanks for listening, and talk to you tomorrow.
How are we supposed to fix what we don't talk about? Welcome to Homegoings, a Vermont Public podcast that encourages fearless conversations about art and race.
It's like an extended family, and especially around homegoing time.
Join us for Homegoings, wherever you get your podcasts. We're a proud member of the NPR network.